Cape Talk, new beginnings.
Now today we're speaking to somebody who is in search of a new beginning for 22 young children and probably for many more. These are babies born to foreign mothers in this country who have South African parents waiting to adopt them and waiting and waiting and waiting because these children just cannot get their documentation from Home Affairs, which would facilitate the adoption process. And we know that the Human Rights Commission has been looking into the problem of registrations of birth and failure to issue documentation like this. But long before they got involved, these kids have had a champion in a woman named Mandy Schultz, who is with us in the studio today, a family law attorney practicing in Cape Town for the past 20 years. Mandy, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Papa. Thank you for your call.
I know you were previously more focused on divorce cases. How did you end up dealing with this particular subject?
Well, basically, I was contacted by an adoption agency that started telling me about the issues that they have. So in 2015 already, I brought the first application in the High Court in Pretoria on the issue of a child that was adopted, and the adopted parents just couldn't get the birth certificate. So then already the High Court ordered that the papers has to be issued and that Home Affairs conduct is unlawful and unconstitutional. Now, it doesn't happen very often that the High Courts give attorney-client cost orders. So the court was so agitated by Home Affairs that they actually granted a cost order on attorney and client base, which is punitive. So thereafter, I had a few other cases which we managed to sort out with letters of demand, exactly same issues, a child born of a foreign mother, and not, you know, the birth certificate's not been issued. Then last year, I had a case where the adoptive father was a foreigner. So we had exactly the same issue after 44 interactions with Home Affairs.
We eventually 44?
44. Between the adoptive parents and ourselves, we had phone calls, emails, visits to Home Affairs, 44 times. Now think about the time that went into that. Still no response. We eventually brought an application. And on the same day, they wanted a postponement, didn't pitch, and then at the last minute wanted a postponement. The court said no. So we got another order with the court ordering that Home Affairs has to issue that birth certificate within 2 weeks, which they actually did. Now, that little joke cost the state and us as taxpayers 30,000 rand.
And you are having to go back each time with each new case to make that kind of application
exactly.
And potentially incur that bill.
Exactly.
What is the problem? Why will Home Affairs not issue these documents?
Well, Papa, in the first place, the Constitution says that every child has the right to a name and a nationality from birth. And the second part is every child has the right to a family, care, or parental care, or to appropriate alternative care when removed from the family environment. Now, what I'm starting to see here is that Home Affairs has got Home Affairs laws, and they're very creative in the moves that they are implementing through their regulations to avoid this specific section in the Constitution. Now, this section doesn't say South African children has the right. It says every child has the right. Now, they have various regulations issued. It started with the unabridged birth certificates to stop trafficking. Well, with all respect, what is busy happening here is that what we're bumping into is that I believe more children are going unidentified because Home Affairs are not issuing birth certificates at birth for abandoned children. Or they wait so long to issue birth certificates that these kids are unadoptable. They become unadoptable. So because they don't have identification, where are they? They are open for exactly what Home Affairs are trying to prevent, which is child trafficking and the drug trade. So this is, I believe, a social bomb that's waiting to explode. As I said, there are various regulations that they now have that a parent has to have legal stay to be able to have a birth certificate issued for the child. Now, it doesn't say that in this constitution. It's not about the parent. It's about the children. Now, so far we basically have identified four or five categories of problem cases. The one is when the child is born of a foreigner. Second is if an adoptive parent or a birth parent is a foreigner. We sit with a category where the documents are just probably lost or somewhere in a pile. Mm-hmm. So it's plain incompetence with respect. Where both parents and adoptive parents and biological parents are South African. So the other one is where babies are born and not registered within the 30-day period. Now what Home Affairs is expecting is that the social worker who's already over the years with work has to make an appointment with the baby to go for an interview at a supervisor of Home Affairs. Now, in one of the agencies who has approached me, they've got five of those kids. They are all adoptable. They are abandoned. Mm. So abandoned children, we can't find the parents or the parents has died, is adoptable. They can be in a parental home or adoptive home within 3 months of birth. Now, we're sitting here with three cases where a child is now waiting for a year already. We've got two children who is close to four, who still doesn't have a birth certificate or an identity. Now, this organization has adoptive parents for all of these kids that we're talking about. We're talking just in my firm, which we're busy with this for 3 weeks. We already have 22 children that's been impacted by this. Now, you know, the moment that this type of thing starts coming out, suddenly we're being called by more parents, by other agencies, and this is not a new thing. Mm. One of the organizations has already had 100 parents and their stories that they took to Home Affairs. There's absolutely nothing from them.
I was going to say, the story sounds horribly familiar because last year we were speaking about that hashtag Fix Adoption campaign that Arise was running around exactly this issue.
Yes.
In that case, I think it mainly focused on children born to South African parents who simply hadn't been issued with their documents. But obviously, the issue of children born to foreigner adds an added stumbling point given the red tape involved. With that many cases, Mandy, have you considered a class action suit?
That's
everybody
exactly
grouped together, fighting it together in one platform?
That's where we're moving to. That's exactly what we're busy doing. Mm-hmm. And as I say, I've identified about four or five categories. One of the other big organizations who I spoke to actually this morning has similar things. Mm. And, there are other departments which are getting contacted when Home Affairs has raids. The human rights violations that's going on there is shocking. And I think it's time that needs to be investigated. You know, they just come in and get social development to remove kids from the parents and then put the parents in jail. Wow,
what?
Come on. Some of those kids are still breastfeeding. So I think it's things that eventually will need to be looked at.
Can I just ask, I mean, we have a new Home Affairs Minister recently sworn in because when I spoke to hashtag Fix Adoption organizers, they were dealing with Malusi Gigaba. They had handed over memorandum. They had online petitions with signatures behind them, and they were getting nowhere. Do you hold out any hope that with the change in that portfolio, with Hlengiwe Mkhize being sworn in, that things might move in another direction?
I don't know. I think the problem is bigger than what can be handled on a quick basis. Mm. I think there's huge issues in the local offices. Mm. Documents just get lost, I think there's some forms of discrimination going on. We've got a few cases where refugees are denied, their children are denied identity documents. We have a new thing that's now coming up. It's actually a fifth category where a foreign father who's got the child now has to find the mother. Mm. And Home Affairs won't register the child without the mother being present. Now, some of them have gone back to where they come from. So there is no way that mother can be here.
Yes, yeah.
They're either being, they went back out of free will or not by free will. So how are they coming back? It is just making it completely impossible. And these fathers want to father the children, which is very rare that you have fathers that say, hey, it's my child, I'm going to take care of this child. Give the man opportunity to do that. But now they can't get medical care, they can't get schooling, they can't. We can go on with that list.
Because, of course, the first thing asked for at any of those, if you're applying for a place in a school, the first thing they want is an unabridged birth certificate.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mandy, I mean, let's just take a step back and talk about the reality for the child. What we're talking about here is a child who could be placed potentially in, yes, a loving home that wants to adopt them, yes, and will give them the kind of care that they need. Yes. The alternative is, because of paperwork and red tape, that child is left languishing in the system. Yes. And what are some of the, I mean, with all due respect for the fact that we know there are many places and many people working very hard to ensure that institutional care is the best that it can be, but we know all too often it is not what it should be.
No, and even if you look at the UNICEF reports, you know, United Nations reports, we've got place for about 500,000 kids. It's less than that, but we have over 500,000 kids in foster care. According to this report, in 2016, by the end of 2014, there was an estimated population of 53 million in South. Let's call it rounded off to 54 million. Mm-hmm. 18.5 million of those are kids, are children under the age of 18. And of that 18 million, 3 million are orphans and reliant on state support. That is 17% of our youth that's in foster care. It's a lot of children. And of that 3 million, 653,000 have lost both parents. So they are adoptable. Mm. They can be adopted instantly. Only 500,000 of them received foster grants. So there's about 153 that's unreported.
Yeah.
And then of that 650,000, only 1,651 has been adopted.
Those figures just seem to make no sense, because, yes, surely there are more than 1,600 potential adoptive parents
there
out there who are wanting to adopt children.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I'm being contacted regularly about that, especially now. And on Facebook and so on, you can see there's a lot of people that say, should I adopt, shouldn't I adopt? I think it's one of the most fantastic gifts that you can receive in life. I'm an adoptive parent myself, okay, so I understand that absolute gift of receiving a child. And I think it's very courageous of a biological mother to have the courage to say, I can't take care of my child. And according to the agencies I'm working with, they have a lot of adoptive parents. But this red tape is really putting people off.
Mm.
And because, you know, the world has become a small place, they want to travel. I'm sitting with some of these cases that I'm handling now that they're waiting for 2 years plus for a birth certificate. They've got family overseas. So those grandparents are never seeing these kids that's now been adopted.
Because they can't leave the country without that unabridged birth certificate.
Exactly. There's another thing where there's an adoptive or biological parent from a different country. That child is now entitled to dual citizenship, but they can't get it because now Home Affairs just leave off that parent, off the birth certificate, period. They just don't appear. So it's not about the parent, it's about the child's rights.
Mm.
So that child is now, according to that paper, not entitled to either a mother or a father. Come on.
It's bureaucratic insanity.
Yes.
And I mean, you've said in 3 weeks, 22 cases coming through to your firm alone, and you're just one of numerous firms, no doubt, who are engaging with this issue, which tells us that there must be many, many more out there. Mandy, you mentioned that you are looking at the possibility of a class action suit.
Yep.
What has to happen to enable that to take place?
Well, firstly, I need to have enough people to do that. I don't think 22 is enough. I even think, I'm wondering if 100 will be enough for this. But the more we can get, the better. And then we will need to look at funding for this, because not all of these parents can pay. Mm. And we can do pro bono work as much as we can. But, you know, we are a small firm, and the advocates are also just restricted so much. And a case like this will probably take through to the Constitutional Court.
Mm.
I can see that the little bit I'm scratching is that I'm concerned that we're sitting with a situation similar to the DSD one that we just had on the grants. It's big words I'm saying, but it's not just a few kids it's not just 22 kids that's been involved. We're looking at 17% of our children's population. We're reaching a tipping point that's going to cause us as a country huge problems when these kids start growing up.
Mm.
The emotional issues, the psychological issues that's coming with this, it's enormous. And just one thing, Papa, is last year what we could find, just on the motion court roll, which means it's the roll that's published in the papers in the morning,
mm.
we had 220 cases against Home Affairs.
That's nearly one a day. Well, every 3 days.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Now, it's a huge amount, and it's not the defended matters, it's just the undefended matters. Of those is failure to make a decision. It's easy stuff. It's absolutely an obligation. Make a decision or don't, but don't fail to do it. Then they make decisions that's so wrong that it has to be reviewed. And what we're talking about is all cases that we're involved in as well. Not all of these 220, but this is the type of cases that we will bring now. Declarative orders. We already had in 2015 a declarative order to say you cannot do this. This is unconstitutional.
And yes, it's still not being acted on.
And it's still continuing. So somewhere we need to take serious action here and do what we can.
Mundy, here's a WhatsApp from Anne saying my daughter in the UK wanted to register her baby at Home Affairs in London, and they make it so difficult. One had to go in with baby and spouse, both losing a work day within 30 days. They're only open about 3 hours a day. You can't make an appointment. You have to be there from crack of dawn and still not able to do it in a day. It was virtually impossible.
Yeah.
And having just heard what we've heard, I'm not surprised to hear that that's the situation overseas as much as it is in the South African offices of Home Affairs. Mundy, all I can say is these kids are lucky to have somebody like you fighting in their corner, and I hope that those listening who might want to reach out to you to join that kind of case will do so.
Please.
How do they make contact with you?
Well, they can either email us on admin at Schuld Inc. It's schuldinc.co.za, or they can phone us on 021 531 0205.
I'd love to say that I have hope that things will be different under a new minister, but unfortunately we know that that's possibly not a very enlightened thing to say. Yeah. Shall I leave it at that? Mundy, thanks for coming and sharing this with us, and I hope that you do hear from Cape Talk listeners who would like to get behind what you're doing. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Please keep in touch with us.
Thank you.